Bishop Kevin Foreman is known as the People's Bishop. He's an author, a speaker, a pastor, a coach, an entrepreneur, a philanthropist, a church planter that loves who he leads. Welcome to the show, Bishop Foreman.
Glad to be here. Super excited to be with you.
Yeah, excited to have you on. Tell us a little about your personal life, more about your work, and why you do what you do.
You know, you said it, the People's Bishop. I love people. I want to see people get results in their life. I literally have it written in my Evernote that it is my, I exist to change the lives of other people. And so most people live life on red light, red light. They're looking for signs for a green light to go forward. I'm the opposite. I live on a green light, and every now and then I'll see a red light. So I know that my assignment in life is to add value, add benefit to the lives of people, help them to go further, faster. And so I do that through a variety of different ways. Joke is, I came out of my mom's womb with a Bible in a briefcase. I had this affinity towards spirituality and success in business that just has always been innate. It's just been in me that way since I was a kid. And I've really, you know, activated it and played it out and walked it out in all of my life. Started my first business when I was 12. By 21, built Denver's largest African-American owned mortgage company. Did some amazing things. I got into ministry at 12 too. Started as a drummer, and I was horrible. I got good. I got a lot better. Eventually was inducted into the Colorado Gospel Music Hall of Fame. And the rest is history that we're still writing. I have so much more to accomplish, but we've been blessed to have a life that hopefully has made a significant impact in the lives of many people.
I appreciate that. How old were you when you formed the, or did the mortgage company?
So by 21, I did that by 21. Okay. I got started in that actually on my way out of high school. Part of my background was marketing. And so as I came out of high school, I got into that. And so I hit the ground running. So by 21, we did that. I don't know that anybody ever surpassed our volume after that, but that was certainly the metric that we had accomplished back then. I mean, that was an awesome thing to see, awesome thing to do. Wasn't even trying to do it. It was just, you know, moving forward.
You were just doing the best work that you could, and it just happened to work out.
Yeah, listen, absolutely. And you know what's crazy about that is it started in a real low place. I had taken a role with a company for a mortgage company and as their director of marketing. So I built this entire marketing team that didn't work out, but I got a set of skills. I was able to take those skills and then use them. And I had no clue that that would create, you know, so much success. And the bigger part for me is the impact. Because I was able to hire and teach and train a lot of people who didn't know that there were other ways to begin to build their lives, build wealth, make a career, et cetera, et cetera. And so I really, again, for me, it's always about the impact. If you can have significant impact, the income will always be there.
Yeah, well said. So my heart, I'm 47 years old, and I hear a lot about younger generations feeling disenfranchised and disconnected, while at the same time, I'm reading about how more people are finding their way back to Jesus and back to church. And so I'd love to get your take on maybe why that is. And then more greatly, I'm about to ask you the biggest question ever. That we human beings like certainty, and we want to know truth, and we want to know that if I do this, this is a result that I'm going to get. And in a lot of ways, that's maybe what faith is.
Yeah. You know, I love what you said. I'll start with that, all right, and then come back to the other. I think that's exactly what faith is. You know, a lot of times people say the opposite of faith is fear. I don't think that's accurate. I think the opposite of faith is certainty. You know, the scripture says faith is the substance, so it's tangible, of things hoped for. Well, if I'm hoping for it, I don't have it. The evidence of things not seen. If I can't see it, I don't have it. So fear isn't the opposite of faith. Fear is actually an indicator you're about to use your faith. You're about to walk by faith. And so for me, I see, when you talk about certainty, we all like certainty. We all desire certainty. Like my hands are up, my feet are up, my knees are up. We all like certainty, but that's exactly in the journey. That faith component is exactly what it means to live by faith. And I think a faith that can't be tested is a faith that can't be trusted. It doesn't mean you're not going to go through moments, go through challenges, go through difficulties, go through issues. It just means my response to those is that I choose to believe that all things are going to work together for my good. Now, to your first question, we're seeing the same thing. We've seen last year, we saw almost 1,900 people give their lives to the Lord. In our existence, we've seen just shy of 13,000 recorded. It's
Wow.
just more than that. That's all we've been able to record. The reason we count is because, one, those lives matter to God and matter to us. Number two, there's so many more people that need to be reached. We want to do our part, but there's so many more people that need to be reached. And what we're seeing is that there is a hunger, there is a desire. And I think it's because of the reason you just mentioned that so many feel disconnected, disenfranchised, whatever it might be. I think that many times it is those scenarios that create the perfect opportunity to say, there's got to be more than life than this. There's got to be more than life than just making a dollar. There's got to be, and that's good. That's important. You should do that. There's got to be more than life than that. And I think that's what really what's triggering and creating this hunger and this desire. So when people say to me, people don't want to believe, I'm saying, but that's not what I'm seeing. When people don't have faith, that's not what I'm seeing. I think anybody's on their journey. And I think especially with social media and things like what you're doing, give an opportunity for people to connect with God in so many more ways beyond just the traditional Sunday. That, whatever, that type of deal. Like, this is a 24/7 thing these days.
Yeah. There's more for you. There's more for me. I know that I feel that, and I have to imagine that most people feel that, even though they're maybe not seeing it in what's around them. They have that sense, and they want more, and they want to have a relationship or a deeper relationship with God or whoever it might be. And to also to be able to interrogate that and sort of along the lines of what you're talking about, the faith that can't be tested, can't be trusted, I feel like there's a lot of distrust in lots of institutions, and people don't, young people want to be able to poke holes or ask questions and to interrogate the truth.
And I think that's a good thing. Like, I think for years, some people feel like, can't question, can't question, can't question. But I think if you just go look at the Bible, people question all the time. Moses, why do you want to use me? Get somebody else to do it. What's your name, by the way? Like, we know he was the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. We don't even know your name. And I love his response. His response is, my name is I am, which is this Hebrew phrase, Eyer, Eshe, Eyer, which means I'll prove who I am based on what I do. So in other words, look at my fruit, but don't be so fixated on just the name, so to speak. I think, which is such a powerful revelation. So much that's in that. And I think that's a good thing. Asking questions is a good thing. It strengthens faith. It doesn't weaken it for me. And I think that's one of the things that people should invite, accept, and realize it strengthens our faith. It's not weakness. And I also want to say this, it's not doubt either. It is just the reality of the human experience. It's not doubt to question, well, why is this that way? Why is this that way? Why, that's not a doubt thing. I was that way. I think that's one of the reasons that I got called into ministry is because I would sit back and I would look at church and I would look at things and I said, yeah, I understand that, but why are we doing it like that? Why do we do it this way? Why does it have to be that way? And I had all these questions. And so those questions helped me to dig and get the answers, but then it also helped me to present those answers to people because I realized if I had those questions, I wasn't the only one that had those questions. So to me, questions are a good thing. I don't think the geniuses are the ones just with the answers. I think the geniuses are the ones with the questions.
Yeah. So recently, whether or not people like Charlie Kirk or not, he certainly brought a lot of people to the message that he was sharing and caused a lot of people to return to church and to return to or get interested in politics. And a lot of that was because he was engaging directly with them, and that you're willing to and excited to engage and invite people to ask questions and engage. Do you think that that's kind of a secret sauce that is helping people to find Jesus and Christ and church again versus more traditional ways?
Well, I think anytime you can invite conversation, it's going to be a catalyst for transformation. And so I think there's a lot of ways to do that. I think to your point, is it a secret sauce? I think it's sort of like a meal. everything is not going to work or be a fit for everybody, right? I am not a person who we joke around all the time with my family. They love calamari. I mean, they are calamari gurus. I mean, they are calamari snobs, if you will. I don't mean that in a negative way. Like they love calamari. I can eat the little bodies, right? But I cannot do the tentacles, right? So when I see the tentacles, I say, "Get! I'm over it. I'm done. I don't care how much chutney or sauce you put on it or whatever, rumala. I don't care. Get it out of here." My point with using that analogy is, I think the same is true for people. Some things are going to work for people and that don't work for other people. Some people sitting in a very pedagogical environment where they're taking notes and receiving and learning is great. For other people, they need to engage. They need to have the conversation. They need to do that. I think we have to take an all of the above approach. And I think that's the beauty of the tapestry that is the body of Christ, is that it's just that, it's a body. And there's a lot of different ways. You can't say, "Well, this is the right way, and that's the right way, and that's the right way." They're all the right way if they're reaching people and ultimately getting them back to God. So I think it's a secret sauce. I think it's a sauce. I think to other people may look at that and say, "This is just way too out there. This is too much." And then somebody else might look at that and say, "This is exactly what I needed. I needed to have this dialogue. I needed to have this conversation. I needed to have, this type of engagement to make me begin to think critically and say, you know what? I don't like you, but I like the fact that you asked this question. I don't like what you said about this group, that group, et cetera, but you got me thinking about this question or what have you." So I think, is it a secret sauce? I think it's a sauce, and we have to use all the sauces. For me, the bodies aren't going to work. The tentacles aren't going to work, but the bodies, I'll eat the bodies, but the tentacles aren't going to work. I think we have to have that same approach when we're dealing with people.
Is that in a way what it means to have a personal relationship with God or Jesus?
Oh yeah, absolutely. I think when you look at it like relationship, it's just that. Relationships are not these linear, everyday tiptoeing through the tulips. Anytime I see someone present a relationship that way, I say it's over and both of them don't know it yet. The only reason it's linear and there's never any friction is because neither one of them are growing and neither one of them are really engaging. Relationships should have an ebb and a flow. There's going to be moments where your faith is on 10. You're going to be like, "Yes." And there's going to be moments you're going to be like, "What is this? What am I doing?" Like, if you study your Bible, you see that we're reading relationships with God that people are having. We just get to read them and we're watching them. So we read Elijah has this huge moment of victory on Mount Carmel. He slays 400 plus false prophets of Baal, plus another 400 from Asherah run away, and he's on top of the world. And then in the very next couple of chapters, he's depressed. He's running away. He's sitting up under a broom tree, which was used to flavor gin. So on the low, the Bible's telling us like he's coping with this through, an unhealthy coping mechanism. And then in the very next chapter, he's anointing his successor. Like, what's going on here? That's your relationship. There's ebb, there's flow, it grows. And I think, to your question, I think definitely think that's a part of understanding. It's just that, it's relationship. It's not linear, and it is not just a one size fits all approach. Now, there are, God's word is true, there's a standard, there are the basic premise that's given, just like a coloring book. You've got the outline, but filling that thing in is going to be unique for every person.
What do you say to people who would say, "Well, who am I to think that I could have a relationship, a personal relationship with God?"
would say, "Listen, you're his son, you're his daughter. He went out of his way to make you, out of his way to save you, out of his way to keep you here." Sometimes you got to look back over your life and say, "How did I make it through that? How did I get through that? How am I still here?" And I think the reality is the answer is very, very simple. When you cut away all of the noise, that at the end of the day, you have to believe there's got to be something more than just what we're experiencing here on this planet right now. And so, to the person that thinks that, I said, who are you not to have a relationship with Jesus? Who are you not to have a relationship with God? At the end of the day, I say it like this: you got a pulse, he's still got a plan. And proof that that plan is working is all around you. Proof. If I'd never had a Bible to read, I wouldn't need to. You want to know why? I can look around me and see the miracles in my own life. I can look around me and see the victory in my own life. You cannot tell me that that is just happenstance. You cannot tell me that that's just some random sequence of events. You can't tell me, well, that's just Big Bang. Well, who shot the bang off? You can't just tell me that that's just evolution. Well, who set it off? At the end of the day, I think to every person, you have to say to yourself, there's got to be more. And that more is that I call it that space that only God can fill, and no matter what you try to fill it with, it's just never filled until he's in that spot.
Yeah. I feel like you can look at a lot of the ills in society, and I'm certainly not the person who made this up, that there's a big God-shaped hole that's been missing. And because of people like you, Bishop, people are beginning to be beginning to fill that. And the risk that I see, and I fall victim to this because we have access to the world's information right on our phone. And it can be really overwhelming to me, and it's concerning to me to read about wars all over the world and atrocities all over the world all at once. But I still need to do the laundry and pick my kids up. So how do you sort of reconcile all that?
Yeah, you know what? I say, I think two things. Two things can be true at the same time. And I think it can be true that there's a lot going on in the world. And it can also be true that you have to continue to maintain your world. And those two things can be true at the same time. I've learned to make sure that I don't overconsume and oversaturate myself with what's going on in the world at large, while certainly not being ignorant to it, unaware of it. But I used to keep a news channel on my house every day. Like, it was playing in the background. I turned the TV on, it was playing in the background. It was always there. And I noticed I was frustrated at more, angry more. I was on edge more. And I said, what is it? And then after I'd stopped turning on the news, I noticed that I was more focused, more diligent, all of those things. And I said, you know, whatever we're consuming, and whatever, faith comes by hearing. So whatever you constantly and consistently hear, that's what you're going to begin to put your faith in and believe, whether you want to or not. It's a principle. And so to the person that says, how can I focus on that and focus on this at the same time? You can do both. It's just, I'm not going to let this overwhelm me. I'm going to let this inform me. I'm going to pray. I'm going to do the things that I need to do to be a responsible citizen, play my part to make those things better, do my part to improve, you know, things in the sphere and the scope that I have, and get the laundry done, get the kids to soccer, clean the house, or in my instance, turn my robot on so that she can do all of the cleaning for me, clean the floor, you know, mop and back and whatever. But those two things can be true at the same time, and you don't have to get overwhelmed with, oh, look at all what's happening in the world. There's a lot happening in the world. There's always been a lot happening in the world. There's more happening than we know, number two. But then number three, there's going to be more happening in the world. It's not going to stop. If you were to stop and stop existing today, the world is going to keep going on. It's going to keep spinning. Things are going to keep happening. So both of those things can be true.
Two things can be true at the same time. And, you know, I'm like you, when I'm on X too much, my wife's like, you're pretty grumpy. Maybe you should put that down, buddy.
Exactly. So true. And you don't even realize how it's impacting you until either one, like in your instance, somebody sees it, or two, you've recognized yourself. And I just realized that I was just like, man, I'm just, this is not me. Like, this energy is who I am generally all the time. You know, I'm a human being, so you have moments where, you know, you're just quiet and heavy. But I noticed, I was like, I just was not there. And I said, you know what? It's because, not that the news is bad. It's just that if you can constantly intake negativity, eventually that's what's going to be in you. And out of the abundance of the heart in scripture means mind, out of the abundance of what you've been filling your mind with, that's what's going to come out of you.
Yeah. You are what you eat and what you consume, I suppose.
Yes, so true, so true.
You will never be the calamari legs, Bishop.
No, can't do it. Can't do the tentacles. The tentacle hands cannot do the tentacles. Oh my God, can't do it. No, will not be that. No,
My
sir.
gosh. Well, Bishop Foreman, thank you so much for all of your work. Thank you so much for coming on the show. Where can people learn more? How can people engage with you and Harvest?
Thank you so much for having me again. Again, big, big salute to you for what you do to create these conversations. Again, I can't underscore the importance of them. And you never know how one simple conversation could be the catalyst for a transformation in somebody's life. People can find me on social media at Bishop Foreman, Foreman, all the social media. If you go to TikTok, be warm. There are 100 fake profiles of me. on TikTok, literally 100. TikTok won't take them down. So I just like to make that disclosure every time I said that to people, because people say, "Is this you?" You know, like, you can kind of tell that's not me. But they, you know, but at any rate, Bishop at Bishop Forman, then go to the website, bishopforman.com, music, messages, our live streaming schedule, then find out more about the church. It's really amazing, especially if they're in the Atlanta area. We're going to be launching. That's why we moved our headquarters here. We're going to be launching a new location here in the Atlanta area. People can be a part of that, but we're hybrid church and buildings end of line. So people can connect anywhere across America, around the world. We know there's something that's going to add benefit and value to people's lives, whether it's their health, their wealth, their family, whatever it is. We speak to the 360 of a human being.
Excellent. Well, if you enjoyed as much as I did, show Bishop Forman your appreciation. Share today's show with a friend who also appreciates good ideas. You could follow him on social media, wherever you like social media, at Bishop Forman, BISHOPFOREMAN. And watch out for those pretenders out there. And then go to bishopforman.com and immerse yourself in everything that we've been talking about. And certainly if you're in the Atlanta area, get involved in person, but you can do it virtually as well. Thanks again, Bishop Forman.
Thank you so much for having me. Appreciate you.
Until next time, remember, do your part by doing your best.